Good morning, BIC family. And I do hope that more and more of us, when we think of the church, we do think of family. Just like all families, imperfect, and with people that we like more, and with people that maybe we don't like or we don't know. But through Christ, we get to know each other better, and we look more at each other through the lenses of the gospel of Christ. I greet you wherever you are this morning, or whenever you'll follow this broadcast. This is not instead of church. This is one tool that we have, and we are grateful for the young people who are working hard to make this happen every week. And it's something that helps us to stay connected. It's a way for us to preach, to teach, to share songs, ideas, prayer requests. But this is part of the broader network of relationships that is still going on. Church is not closed. Our meetings are different. The way we do things it has to be different in the context. But as we look to Christ and as our hearts are open to people and to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we continue to be church. It's hard to believe it's already the first Sunday in December. In just a few short weeks, it'll be 2021. We all look forward to a better year, to a year when things will hopefully get more relaxed, and we trust God. Yes, we know doctors and other people and scientists are doing their work. We are praying for government, for them to be wiser, especially in the context of Romanian elections going on today. We pray that God will give wisdom to people as they make their choices and selection. We pray for the leaders that they will have principal negotiation. I will select good new leaders in parliament and in the new executive that will be a forthcoming. But our ultimate trust is in God, and we need to do our part as citizens, as members of families, as members of the church, but we look to God as our source. Before I share the message that I have on my heart for today, I also want to pray, to lead in a prayer, and I hope that whenever you watch this, that you will be able to pray with us and pray for these matters. There are a lot of things that lay heavy on my heart, and I hope that many of you will pray. Last night, I got a message from Georgiana, like in the Gavrush family who live in Niger. You may remember them from when they came at the end of August, and they shared with us and their work there. And we need to pray for Georgia. His health is not good. He's struggling with a couple of issues, and hopefully he will get better soon, and his symptoms, everything will be better, and he will be stronger. And I'll be praying for that in a second, but please pray for that. Pray for the other people you've seen in the announcement and in the notice that Rob and Gabby showed, that during this time we are particularly praying and hoping and giving towards the people who serve overseas on the foreign mission field, because the mission field is everywhere. But the people who live in Japan, in China, in Greece, in Africa, and in the place where they serve, we want to be there for them. Kiva send some messages. We hope that we can pray intentionally, we can give intentionally, and be the kind of church that doesn't forfeit its mission, because it's from God. It's not from a church council. It's not from my, you know, just from my mind and ideas. But God is calling us to be always busy with the good work of the kingdom. So we pray that this month will be a month when we will be on the offense, not in the sense that we'll be aggressive with people. There is enough of that, and people tend to do that in traffic at other times during the holiday season, but to be on the offensive in terms of remembering what our role is, remembering that we are called to be salt and light in every season, remembering that this time when people think of Christmas and the birth of Christ, it's a great time for us to be intentional, to be focused on Him, to allow God to work with us and give us a heart and give us love and patience and kindness that we can manifest to those around us. And we see that there are many people, many families, many situations that require our kindness and our good spirit. So may God help us to be instruments, so in this way we can be fulfilling the vision of our church, which is to be a beacon of hope and light, which means to lift people's spirit, to encourage them to do good deeds, not out of religious zeal, but out of gratitude, out of thanksgiving for what Christ has done for us. We can do it unto others like we would like them to do unto us, but do not wait for people to be nice and good to you in order for you, for me, to be nice and good and generous with them. Because that's the golden rule, that's the spirit, that's what Christ embodied, modeled for us, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can also do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So let's pray as we move along in the messages and presentation for today. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for you. We are grateful for everything you've done, for your perfect love for us. We don't fully understand things. Sometimes we understand very little, but we trust in your goodness, Lord. We trust in your care. Thank you that we are entering another Advent season, a season when we are remembering the great gift of the birth of Christ and what it means to us and to the humankind and how it changed our lives, Lord Jesus. And help us, like I just said, help us, each and every one of us, each and every person who is following you, who is listening to this message, that we will be ready to receive love, to receive your promptings, Holy Spirit, and we can go out, we can do our life, we can live life, we can fulfill our roles and our responsibilities, even during this time, but doing it in a way that will honor you, that will be a blessing to people, that people will see in us the goodness that you have for us, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus, for stepping into our world, for changing things. Give us strength and grace as we deal with the struggles. Help us to be kind and encouraging to those who are dealing with various issues, with those who are lonely, with those who are in need, with those who are struggling with COVID right now, people in our community, people that we know, families of our friends, Lord. I pray for Georgia and Georgiana in Niger, that you will be with them in a special way. Reach down, Lord, and touch George's heart and his mind and his body, his respiratory system, Lord, his muscles, his bones, everything. Strengthen him, Lord. Give him extra favor. Pull him out of his difficult season onto stronger, firmer times. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for Dumitritsa in Greece. We pray for Istrate family in China. We pray for Mihaila in Japan, for her struggles that she's been dealing with, the accident and what she's facing. And we know that you are a good God. And help them, Lord, while they are struggling to do what they need to do to survive and take care of life. Give them open doors for the gospel. Give them strategy. Give them favor, Lord, so they could do the work of the kingdom that you have called them to do. Help each and every person in our community, Lord. Help us to redeem time, to use every opportunity that you are giving us to serve, to embody the gospel, to preach the gospel day in and day out, Lord, in every circumstance. Lord, on this special day, we bless Romania, Lord. We are grateful that we have freer elections compared to years ago and decades ago. And we ask that you will give wisdom to people as they make their selection. We pray that there will be peace as the vote will continue and end tonight, and as people will negotiate and results will be announced. Give peace, Lord, and protection, Lord. We do not ask, Lord, because we are good and we deserve this, but we ask based on the promises that you have for us, based on you, on who you are, Lord, not based on who we are or the political leaders. We ask for mercy and favor for this country, Lord. Give us higher understanding. Help us to be respectful of people, even when they have a different view or different vote than us, but also help us to be wise. Help us to be truthful, Lord. Raise the people that you want to raise. You can bring down the people that you want to bring down according to what you know, according to your insights. Have mercy on us all over this country, all over the world where Romanians are voting in this election. Also, we pray for Europe as continues to deal with so many negotiations and decisions about the pandemic, about Christ, about countries, about UK, give wisdom to the leaders across the continent. We pray for America that you will bless them with peace, regardless of what goes and regardless of what states and Supreme Court will decide. We trust you, Lord, to be the giver of hope and light in every situation, Lord Jesus. Be kind to us, Lord. Be merciful to us, Lord. We pray that this winter will give us more faith in you, not in our abilities, but more faith in you. Help us to be wise as we have to deal with many decisions about what to do and how to live and what measures to take and when to be bold and when to be extra safe and when to be extra kind, Lord. Help us to live as good citizens of the world, but especially of your kingdom, Lord. We are grateful for who you are. Be with me as I share today, Lord, in the thoughts that you have laid on my heart, and fill us with your kingdom perspective, because it's not about us, it's about you, Heavenly Father. We are so grateful in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. The Lord is good in every season. And there are seasons and seasons. There are times and times. There are things that we hope they're different. And, you know, in our families, in our lives, in our countries, you know, in this beginning of December, we hope things would be different. In the context of the election, some things many of us thought would be different. In the context of what's happening with the church dynamics, but at the same time, we look to God. And the title for this message today is very simple. It says this, hoping while waiting. Waiting. Waiting is such an important and difficult thing. It's an important part of life because we all have to wait. And there is different kind of waiting that we need to do. You know, just the other day, I was doing my weekly routine of getting groceries for me and my mom and following the list that she wants, things that she wants me to buy. And I was looking to buy some meat, and there's this place. And of course, because of the restrictions, like only a couple of people can go inside at a time. And it was fairly early in the morning, so it was colder. And I was a little concerned because I didn't know if the chicken that I wanted to buy, if there will be enough of it left, because there were like 7 or 8 people in front of me, and the store doesn't bring a lot of quantity. You know, they bring it fresh in the morning. And I was getting a little restless, and part of it, I have to confess, some of you already know about this, about me. Waiting is not one of my favorite things to do, and especially waiting in lines. You know, a lot of it probably has to do with my memories from my childhood. You know, they're not just childish memories, they're more than that. In the 80s, I had to do a lot of waiting in lines. It was during Ceausescu's regime, during communism, and back then, like almost everything, if you wanted to purchase something, you had to stay in a line. Sometime for 20 minutes, half an hour, sometime for 2 hours, sometime we would stay in line for 2 days. We would hold the line hoping that they will bring flour or sugar or potatoes or whatever we needed. Part of my daily routine was to get up early before going to school, staying in line, getting milk for our family. It was part of my training in life. God knew that I needed extra training for the extra calling and unique calling he gave me. But you get the point. I don't like waiting in line, especially for food, especially for things where I feel like things could be better organized. So I was in line, and you know, I was getting a little anxious, you know. But then I, not only that I remember my memories from childhood, but I remember that God is still in control. And even if I don't get the chicken, and even if my feet get a little cold, the success of the day is not about when I get to get the meat and if I have the meat. You know, and waiting, there's so many kinds of waitings that we have to do, you know, and sometimes it's quite difficult. You know, like many of us today are waiting for a better parliament. You know, sometimes there's a hard waiting when you have a medical test and you expect the result, you expect a diagnosis, or you expect a better prognosis from the doctors. You know, some people are waiting to get married. Some people are wondering why they waited to get married. You know, sometimes waiting for a promise to come to fruition, it's hard, or plan to come to life. You know, some people are waiting for a new job or a better job. Just the other day, I was talking to somebody. It's hard when you lose your job. It's hard when you want a better job and you want to do what's right, but sometimes you have to wait, and it's difficult. It's difficult when you make an investment, when you plant something physically or figuratively, so to speak, and you're waiting for the crop, you're waiting for the yield, and you don't know when and what kind of yield and crop it will be. Waiting can be very hard, you know. Waiting for an exam, waiting for your studies or your professional training to be over, to advance, waiting for you to get out of the isolation, or for people who've been sick with COVID, for them to feel better. You know, there are people right now in our community who have very dear ones, you know, parents and or spouses who are dealing with it, and it's hard. And there is so many kinds of waiting. You get the idea. And you know, there is a verse in Proverbs that I like that I want to quickly read to you. It's from chapter 13 in the book of Proverbs, and in chapter 13, verse 12, it says this: "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." When you wait for something to happen and it's not happening, when a hope is deferred, our hearts get sick. We are getting anxious. We are uncomfortable. But when something comes to pass, when something comes to be fulfilled, a longing is fulfilled, it's like a tree of life. It's like a, it's something that motivates us. It's something that gives us power. It gives us energy. And by the way, sometime while we are waiting for a promise, while we are waiting for a hope to be fulfilled, sometime we have to remember other hopes from the past that were fulfilled, to remember and to get some good strokes, so to speak, to get some good energy from how God showed his faithfulness to us. But at the same time, you know, it's important for us to understand that our emotions and our minds, we can get restless, and we can get frustrated, and we may not understand, or we may not realize why. And sometimes it's because of the waiting. It's because waiting can bring us down. But also, there is promise in waiting, because God says that when we wait on him, when we look to him, when we seek him, then there will be new hope, there will be new energy, there is new strength, and as we get closer to him, he gets closer to us. But it is hard sometimes for us. It's often hard for us to keep hoping while we are waiting, you know. And as we think of this season, and I know some of you come from church tradition when the season of Advent, the four Sundays before Christmas, were an important part of the church tradition. For other people, they're not that important, and different churches in different countries, and you know, they do this differently. But even this season of Advent, it's a metaphor for life. The Advent, it's a word that comes from Latin, from ad venire, venire, which is a word in Romania as well, which is kind of like at the coming. It's like people who are looking for something, we're getting ready for someone or for something to come. And obviously the Advent, the church Advent, it's about Christ's arrival into our world, about his birth, about him stepping from his heavenly reality in our own realities, and what it means. And this season at Advent, it is a lot about hope and doubt, and about fighting for hope and for seeing that hope. And it was for Jesus' earthly parents, it was a struggle for them to even find a physical place where to give birth to Emmanuel, you know, to Jesus. And the season of Advent, it's a microcosm of our life on earth, our human experience. It's this, it's a struggle, it's waiting, it's hoping, it's being in between, it's being tossed around, it's clinging on to hope while struggling with things that sometimes seem hopeless, not just during the pandemic, but so much of life. Like I mentioned before, there are so many things that cause us to wait, or make us to wait, or we have to wait for, and sometimes it's hard to keep, you know, hope alive. But it's so important. And, you know, I don't want to oversimplify things, but if you look at the history of humanity, from the very creation, you know, in the book of Genesis, from the earth being created, however God chose to do this, and however long it took him, you know, and there are different perspectives on that, and we understand that. But what it's important for us to understand is that basically the whole history of humanity till the year 2020, Anno Domini, is that there are basically two periods, you know, and one of them was before Christ's arrival, before the Advent, and then one after Advent, after Lent, after him coming and doing what he fulfilled on earth. Or in different theological terms that the Bible itself uses, it's our time from the first Adam, who was created by God, and God brought him to life by breathing into his nostrils, from first Adam to the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, Son of Man and Son of God. That was the first period of history. And then now we are in the second part of history, which is from the first advent of Christ, the first arrival of the second Adam of Jesus Christ, to his second arrival, to the return of Jesus Christ. So in a way, we can obviously say that our whole history on earth, it's about waiting. Because from the very beginning, God made this promise that there will be, Son of Man, Son of God, that will come, and there will be this theological crush, this life-altering event. You know, you can read about it in Genesis 3:15. The first promise about Jesus coming and him defeating the enemy who deceived people. And it took a few thousand years, right? We know that it was a few thousand years, more than 2,000 years, more than the waiting that we are doing for the second arrival of Christ. But the fulfilling of time, as the Bible says, that the fulfillment of time, Jesus stepped into our world. The first advent came. Jesus was born. And this is what we celebrate this Christmas. And Jesus was a light that came into in the midst of a lot of darkness. The people of Israel were in darkness. In many ways, they are under occupation. They were, in a sense, they were in slavery. And we are like that. We are looking for redemption. People, not just out of the pandemic, but out of our life, of circumstances. We are looking for better days, for better times. And our history as human beings, it's a history of waiting, a history of hope, hoping that something will be fulfilled while we struggle with circumstances that are often hard for us. You can read about it and you can check it out in your Bible. Basically, this is our history. From first Adam to second Adam, and then from the first advent to now looking to the glorious second return of Jesus Christ. And it's sometimes hard to do the waiting. I want to read a couple of verses to you. In Acts chapter 1, we see the events when Jesus ascended to heaven. At the end of his life and ministry on earth, Jesus went back up to heaven. And in the book of Acts, we read about this. We read that after his suffering, he presented himself, Acts chapter 1, verse 3, he presented himself to them, to the disciples, and gave them convincing proofs that he was alive. It wasn't just an appearance. It wasn't just an epiphany. He was bodily resurrected. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God, because that's a big priority, the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which is you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we still believe with that promise. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, just like us, the disciples are impatient. They're waiting for the kingdom to be reestablished in a physical way, like in the good days of David or Solomon. They're waiting. And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, that's our role while we do the waiting, to be good witnesses of Christ, to shine for him. Just like the moon is reflecting the light from the sun, we are, revolving around the earth, around the Son of God, Jesus, S-O-N, not S-U-N, the Son of Life, the Son of God, and we have to reflect his life. We have to be credible disciples, credible witnesses, and that's why the Holy Spirit has been given to us, to equip us, to train us, to empower us for that. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently. Listen to this. Acts 1:10. The disciples, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. They were angels. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." The disciples were looking intently as Jesus was being lifted up, and he was hitting before their eyes into a heavenly realm. And the angels asked them, "Why do you look?" And it wasn't like they didn't know why they were looking, obviously. But, the angels gave them a promise. The same Jesus, not a different Jesus, not a different Savior, the same Jesus who has been taken into heaven will come back, and he will come back in the same way. He will come back from heaven. You know, and the Bible says that his return will be glorious, and every eye will see it. But the same struggle remains for us. We, as his disciples, we look to the heavens. We ask, "Jesus, when are you coming?" In the context of the pandemic, many people said, we are getting closer to his return, not just in the sense that with each passing day we are getting close to the, to his return, but in the sense that the events, the context, makes it more, more urgent, more desiring for him to return. And while we do this waiting, sometime hope fades. Many people even give up. Many Christians lose their faith. Many people even come up with theological ideas that are not aligned with the Bible. They do not believe that Jesus is coming back. They do not believe that God still cares about us. You know, that's why, in the last century or so, we had many ideas and even liberal theology about God not caring, about God being dead, about God not being involved with his creation. But he is. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Please think back at the time when Jesus first came, his first advent. It was after hundreds of years in which there was not very much revelation from God. They still had the prophets. They still had the law, the Torah. But there wasn't anything new, anything fresh happening. And many people are wondering, are those promises that we heard, are those great stories from the time of Moses and Solomon and David and Elijah, will they happen again? It seems like they looked around and nothing was happening. It looked around and it was misery for the people of Israel. They were just being under foreign influence. The Roman Empire seemed to be the most powerful and conquering force in the world. And from a human perspective, they were, but not from an eternal perspective. At the fulfillment of time, God sent his Son to live among us, to show us the gospel, to preach the gospel, to die for the gospel, to die for us, to redeem. And it's very similar today that people are waiting, and some people are wondering, is Jesus still coming? Do things still make sense? They do. But the waiting is hard. Just like for us, it's hard. Just like for me, it's hard to wait in line for meat or to wait for some promises to come to fulfillment. It's hard for us to wait for this difficult winter to get over, for us to have normal meetings again, for us to go back to normalcy. It's hard to wait, but it's so important to hope while we wait. Because that's the promise that, God made for us. And I want to read a couple of verses to you about these promises and about this hope that God made for us. In Romans 5, the Epistle of Romans, which some people consider to be the gospel in its purest form, Romans 5, we see these verses, starting with verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. This is what we have in the gospel. We have standing with God. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Boast not in the sense of being arrogant and proud in ourselves, but boast in the sense that we rely on Him. We believe in that. We know we have victory. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Here's the word again, hope. And hope that doesn't put us to shame. Or like a different translation says, a hope that doesn't deceive us. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hallelujah. We have a hope. And this is how we know that this hope is not deceiving. We're not going to be put to shame as we stand on this hope. Because the Holy Spirit fills our hearts with His love. And this love transcends all human understanding. And we can see in these verses that I just read from Romans 5, we see again how these three enduring and most important things work together. Faith, hope, and love. It's faith that gives us peace through Christ. With Him, we gain standing with God. And we can boast in a hope. And it's a hope that is not deceiving. It's not coming to an end, even in the midst of most difficult circumstances. And we know it's real because God pours His love. You know, and I look at these verses and part of me is like, God, it's beautiful, but it's hard. But because it's beautiful, it's true. Because it says right here, the suffering, because there is suffering. Last night when I heard the news about our friend George not feeling well there in Niger, it was suffering. You know, God gave me compassion. And I know many of you care about him. Or you know, when this morning I got some news about a friend of mine and his mom. Oh, I think of him and his mom. It's hard. It's suffering when I look around. It's suffering, so much suffering in the world. These people are in tension and in pain. But, you know, God foretold these things to us, and we knew there will be trouble in the world for us as believers. Even though we have this great hope, there's going to still be suffering, and we have to persevere. We have to be resilient, a word that is so used these days in Europe, you know, resilience. We have to boast in hope, and be resilient, stay, persevere, and then we can be people of character, people of good character. And people of good character end up being hopeful people. Sometimes we want the hope without the character, because character comes with suffering and perseverance. But Jesus Christ himself, you know, he had to endure suffering and had to persevere through it. He had to persevere there on the cross. He had to persevere and allow people to mock him. Allow people who were so beneath him to mock him, to spit on him. And yes, I know we are not Christ, but we can learn from his lessons. And the Holy Spirit is empowering us, because Christ is giving us love. To love people. To love even those who persecute us. To even love those who have different opinions, who vote differently, who get in line, you know, who maybe, you know, make our life more difficult. But it's still true, because this is the only way we can have that hope that doesn't deceive, the hope that doesn't put us to shame. And it's not the only place in the book of Romans where we find about this important hope. I want to also read to you from Romans 8, you know, just a couple of chapters over from Romans 5. If you want to open there or look it up, please, Romans 8, write it down. You can read these verses later. They are so important. And if during this season of Advent or any time you feel kind of hopeless, you feel kind of the waiting is getting too hard, please reread these verses. In Romans 8:24 says this, For in this hope we are saved. And it talks about the hope of being eagerly adoption to the sonship. It talks about this hope that we are saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? Right? I don't need to hope that I have a microphone in my hand because I have it. I feel it. I can hear it work. Hope is for something that is desired but not seen yet. When I say I hope that this evening I will be happy with the election results, or not miserable at least. Or hope is when I say I hope that in 2 weeks we get to do something. Hope is, you know, I hope that we'll have a great Christmas dinner or that event. It's something that you hope or you plan for, but it's not seen yet. You know, because sometimes hope is a struggle, because we are looking and we are talking about things that we don't see, that we cannot smell or measure, but they are still real. In verse 25, it says, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. So you see the connection here and the title to the message, Hoping While Waiting. We wait for it patiently, for the hope that we do not yet have, but it's coming. We wait for this Christmas, for the joy, you know, but not just for the joy of Christmas, of being free, or maybe getting to be with some family and friends in the midst of this pandemic. But every season of Christmas, because every day with Christ is Christmas. We hope for his great and glorious second return, for his second arrival on earth. We hope to be brought out of difficult circumstances. Yes, we don't have it yet, because that's what hope is. You don't have it. You don't see it yet, but you only see it with your spiritual eyes, by your inner person, in faith. And God is growing us in faith. And yes, this growing is sometimes difficult, and sometimes the waiting means like, man, does it even make sense to wait? Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should have a different store to find meat. Maybe I should find a different doctor. Maybe I should find a different way to find fulfillment and happiness. But God is calling us to have trust in him. Even when things get rocky, even when things get dicey, even when our emotions are on a spin, even when things change, you know, as the book of Psalms says, even when there is an earthquake in down into the seas, there is still reason to hope. Why? Because our hope is not based on us. It's not based on our intelligence and not based on our accomplishment. It's not even based on our capacity to understand and deal with circumstances. But it's a hope built on his promises, as we shared before. And it's a hope that is so important. Hallelujah. May God have mercy on us. And hoping while waiting can be so hard. In every season, it's been hard. I want to read another passage from Scripture to see how hard waiting, but important, was for some people. It's from the story of the birth of Christ. We find it in Luke chapter 2. You know, Luke chapter 2, it tells the story of how Christ was born and his parents taking him to Bethlehem and finding a way. And then, you know, in the eighth day, according to the traditions, he was presented at the temple because he was the firstborn into his family, a male. And then in verse 25 of Luke 2, it says this, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, for the Messiah. That was another name for him. And the Holy Spirit was with him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple's court. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." You see, this man, this aging man, Simon, he had this hope for the consolation, for the Messiah. It was a hope. And it was harder and harder for him to hope because he was getting near his, you know, the end of his life. It says here he was an old man. But God told him, "No, you'll not die before you'll see him." And then he saw him, and his spirit, the Holy Spirit revealed, this is the promised child from Isaiah and from the books of the Old Testament. And he is so excited. His eyes have seen the salvation. It wasn't hope anymore. It was hope fulfilled. The waiting was over. The light has come, the glory of the people. And the story continues. The child's father and mothers, the parents of Jesus, his earthly parents, they marveled and was said about him. Then Simon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Very short prophecy, but a very good description of the life of Jesus. He was going to turn the hearts of many. He was going to prove what is in people's hearts. Mary will also suffer a lot because of Jesus, because on one day she had to see him crucified and put to death. But yet God lived. But the story continues. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. Even this day is 84, it's old. But back then it was even, you know, even an older time for somebody. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who are looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She, you know, the Bible doesn't say exactly how she spoke, but we can understand from the context and for what Simon says, the kind of thing she probably would say something like, "Look, this is the one who will redeem Jerusalem. This is the heir of David. This is the promised Messiah." You know, she was excited. She gave thanks to God. She spoke up. You know, and it says right here, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law from the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Mary and Joseph had hope for their son because of all the prophecies, because of the prophecy of angel Gabriel, of the prophecy of Simon, and the prophecy of prophetess Anna. But they didn't see it yet. They only saw it fulfilled later, 30 years later. For Simon and Anna, it was a hope fulfilled. And why did I wanted to look at their example today? Because they can be good examples for us as we are in waiting. Not just waiting in our own lives for things to come to pass, for promises to happen, for plans to form and to come to execution, for the pandemic to be over. We are hoping and looking forward. We are waiting for his second glorious return. It can happen soon. It can happen very soon. It can happen most likely, as people believe, during our lifetime, especially for those of you who have 50, 60 years. But it's soon. Yes, for us, sometimes even 2 days can be very long. Even while you wait for a plane to land, you know, can be long, a long wait. Waiting to get meat can be a long wait. So a few more days or 50 years or 100 years seems like very long, but he is coming back. And we should learn from these two people from which we just read in Luke 2, how they are holding on to hope while waiting. They're aging. Circumstances around them were not easy. People are losing hope. Many people were not believing the promises of the Torah anymore. But they held on to hope. And they continued to serve God. They continued to be at the temple, which signified the presence of God. They continued to receive guidance from the Holy Spirit. As if you read and if you listen to what I read, it says a couple of times how the Holy Spirit confirmed and led them and guided them. And it's the only way for us to hold on to hope during this wait. The only way for us to have the hope is by allowing the Holy Spirit to make it real, to breathe life, to pour this love into our hearts, the love that Romans 5 talked about, to make it real, to tune our heart to the frequency of heaven so we will hold on to hope. This is how we have hope in this December, in this Advent, and in the months and years to come. You know, and hope, it's so important. I'm going to ask Gabby if he wants to help, because I noticed this morning, and they've done this beautiful, and maybe you noticed, they've done this beautiful decoration of our building here last night, and we're grateful for everyone who helped. And in the way they decorated, you see how they put those lights connected from the word hope, and then they have like the lights going to different words like truth, character, grace, family. And even this is like a quick, powerful reminder like how we need hope for everything. We need hope to persevere in our character. We hope for our families, hope that truth will prevail. We need hope. Hope is connected to everything. And in order for us to stay hopeful, we need the Holy Spirit to do this work on us. And we need to stand our ground while waiting. And we know waiting can be difficult. When you are sick and waiting to feel better can be difficult. When you are struggling, when things are not going according to plans, but are going the other way. When you are waiting on a promise and circumstances seem to move exactly opposite way, it's hard. But Lord is still real. God is still good. God is still good. The other day I heard a quote, and I think it's very appropriate for the context of our message today. And the quote said this: hope begins when you stand in the dark looking out at the light. I'm like, wow, what a perfect description of Christian hope. Even though when I heard this in a movie, it wasn't about Christ directly. It's a beautiful representation of how hope begins. Hope begins by Christ dying for us while we are yet sinners. While we are in the darkness, the light from heaven steps into our world. And while we are still struggling with imperfect and hard circumstances and suffering, we look to hope, we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our hope. And we ask him to give strength. We look to the heaven intently, but we are not just looking and waiting around, wasting time. We are doing our part. We are credible witnesses for him. We are allowing the Holy Spirit to shape our hearts, to shape our lives, to reflect Christ, even while the waiting goes on and goes on. And even while the waiting gets very hard at times, the hope is real because it's from heavens above. May the Holy Spirit strengthen each and every one of us in the middle of these circumstances, on this election day, on this early December, in this season of Advent, in this pandemic, in this time of our life, in this time of our church, in this time of our nations. May God fulfill his promises. And may he give us a strong, hopeful heart while we wait, waiting for his great return, waiting for his promises to come to life, waiting for our destiny in him. Glory be to God. May he bless us. May he strengthen us according to his promises, according to his faith, hope, and love. So help us, God.